Yo, yo, what's up, everyone? The episode you're about to hear was recorded at the Ethereum Hackathon in Singapore, and I was super lucky to meet face-to-face some of the people we had on the show. So enjoy these mini episodes, and we'll see you in the next episodes of Crypto 101. Alexi Lane, CEO and founder of Everix. Good to see you here at ETH Hackathon in Singapore.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, how have you been?
Been great.
You just flew in today or yesterday?
Last night.
Right on, right on. How you feeling? Where'd you fly in from?
We're based in Bangkok, so it's really a short flight.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, you know what? It's actually very coincidental because the past month, me and your, I think it's CMO or social media manager, have been chatting about a project to do, and I have never spoken to you, but hey, we just ran into each other here.
We just bumped into each other through the mutual friend, so yeah, absolutely, and I'm happy to give a brief intro about the company and answer your question.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So basically, you know, Crypto 101 is a space for the 101s on different people, projects, ideas, thoughts, and products out there in the space. And I would love to know more about Everix. Can you just please tell us, basically, what do you do and what is it?
Sure. We are a blockchain development company. We specialize on working in between the fiat and the crypto, building the bridge, and basically try to implement the blockchain technology and solutions to the non-cryptocurrency use cases, such as cross-border money transfer, merchant payments, currency exchange lending, so pretty much financial services. So we're pretty much like taking the blockchain tech, the fast speed transactions, cheap cost of a transaction, and try to apply it to the traditional financial services. At the same time, financial inclusion is the main goal, main angle of our business, because like we know 2 billion people in on the planet have no or limited access to financial services.
You have to go way more one-on-one for me.
No worries.
The problem in, let's say, a summary one sentence, what is the problem?
Problem is to provide individuals and small and medium-sized businesses with the fast and cost-efficient way to transfer money.
And so basically, they are taking their fiat or whatever they have, putting it on the blockchain into some kind of cryptocurrency, and then transferring to where they need it for their business.
Correct.
And Everix is the, I would say,
facilitator
of that.
Of this. So we provide technology such as the wallet. Also, we developed the ethplur.io, which is one of the biggest Ethereum blockchain block explorer and analytical tool for tokens. Which is basically a back end, the back core of our wallet as well. So if there's a transaction that sends through our wallet, it's actually shown on Ethplorer just to confirm that it's publicly and available for complete transparency.
Now, what kind of business are you focusing on? Because here's what I think. If you're a business and you need to transfer money, if you're a bigger business, you don't need to go with like the blockchain. You can just say, I'm going to go to my bank because I have money to deal with it. So is this more for like the mom and pop small businesses, like maybe, you know, starting up like a convenience store or a shop and getting their products from China to maybe, say, someplace in South America or what have you?
Something like that. Well, we focus to more small and medium-sized businesses because in Asia, most of the businesses are still based on cash. So it's a heavily cash economy, and they have limited or no access to banks because banks probably don't make enough money on them. So we don't blame the banks of not providing the service to them because banks, they are the business.
And they probably don't want to spend that much money
because they
have to control their
costs. Because the cost of servicing the client with $100,000 and $100 million pretty much the same.
Right.
So obviously the banks are shooting for the larger clients. So we try to get this niche and provide this technology because of the efficiency of our solution to those who may not able to afford banking fees. However, it's still in the beginning. So one of our use cases is the cross borders for remittance for the guest workers. Because as we know, like only last year was the official number from the World Bank was over $600 billion were transferred globally through the migrant workers who live and work outside of their own countries. Add on the top of this, the amount of money who were transferred through informal channels, which is not recorded. Add on the top the small and medium-sized traders. So like a lot of border trades happens between the Asian countries. Like you take Laos, Cambodia, Myanmar, Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam. So pretty much a lot of trades going on. So that is the good market for us to apply our technology.
When did you guys start the company?
We started in April 2016.
Okay.
So we're 2.5 years old.
How's everything going?
So far, so good. Well, we actually expecting the approval from the Bank of Thailand to launch first in-kind cross-border remittance project with our two partner banks between Thailand and the Myanmar. And that hopefully this will be the first project of this type, where the blockchain technology and solution will be used for non-cryptocurrency use case, the traditional moving of funds between the countries.
Right on. Yeah. What about yourself, man? Just what is your background and why did you switch from, because this is a switch, blockchain technology is new, so you would had to make a conscious decision to go, I'm going to do this blockchain thing, and why did you decide
well,
that?
Well, thank you for this question. Yes, I came from the finance background, so I have experience in the capital markets, in the payments industry. Like my last 8 years before I moved into the blockchain space was in a payment technology. So I'm kind of know a thing of two, how the money moved, how the bank system works, how the capital market works, how Visa and MasterCard works. So all of this thing. And then when I saw the blockchain and the opportunity that this technology presents, I immediately something that clicked in my mind, if we can merge this traditional proven financial system with this new technology, we can really save a lot in the time and the speed and the cost.
You know, the market is a complete dumpster fire right now.
It's a massacre.
It's a massacre. There's blood on the streets. I can't believe I didn't slip on the blood coming into the building here for all the bag holders in the building right now. One of the biggest things is a lot of companies are really entrenched and embedded and almost pegged to Bitcoin and Ethereum's success. Would you say your company is, and could your company survive if they happen to go away and disappear?
In a way, our funding mostly in the crypto. So yeah, we hurt as much as they have everybody else. However, let's look positive side. So this is one of those things, like we've seen the market crashes already before. So we're looking for the positive turn next year. However, our business, although yes, the funding is dependent on the crypto, but at the same time, we are not, it's not only depend on the crypto, it's not only finance. Remember, we also depend on the regulations. One of them also depends on building the business relationships with our banking partners. So it's kind of this, what we try to build is the mechanism that comprises with a few like a moving parts, and we need to align them all together and make it work like a well-oiled engine.
Before I go into the last question, I want to say thank you very much for your time. I just grabbed you out of a beautifully air-conditioned place into the heat outside, and we're sweating our asses off out here. But you're in Bangkok, and I've been asking a lot of people about Singapore, and they've been saying Singapore is very crypto-friendly, and they're welcoming to this new technology. How's Bangkok? How's Thailand when it comes to these kind of new technology startups, and especially with all the FUD mystery around blockchain and cryptocurrency?
Right. Thailand, I have to say that everybody should take a really close look at what the Thailand is doing, because the Thai government, including a Security Exchange Commission, took a really proactive steps to regulate the crypto economy. So we already have 8 types of licenses. So in fact, they even divided. So if you want to trade cryptocurrencies, it's one license. And by cryptocurrencies, we mean 2 Bitcoins, 2 Ether, Ripple, Stellar, and Litecoin. Okay. So those 7, this is one type of license called the cryptocurrency. Everything else called the digital assets. You can trade there. So you can be a broker or dealer license. You can actually create ICO portal.
And so they have a dealer license just for crypto?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
And
okay.
The digital assets.
Okay.
And so they, not only that, on the top, they are regulating the exchanges. Okay. So I believe now 5 exchanges in Thailand got official approval from SEC. To launch and operate, and also the thing called ICO portal. Thailand could be first, or one of the first countries that would actually allow legal ICOs. All you need to do is just to move in the country, register the company, register with the regulated ICO portal, who will do due diligence and everything, and then you can officially launch and raise funds from globally.
That's awesome. And Thailand's a pretty affordable place to live.
Absolutely. Well, that drives people, because we have this spot like a digital nomads.
Right.
So if you want to code on the beach and have access to the cheap and great food and actually have your business there, Thailand is the place to be. That's why we're there.
Right on. Man, it was awesome. Right.
Pleasure,
into you,
mine,
man. Thank you very much for your time, brother.
All of that. Thank you.